from the epistle this morning, for ye are dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there we are. What must be the least auspicious words we can imagine for the text of an Easter sermon? From the epistle this morning, ye are dead. How unexpected to find that in our reading, given that Easter is the season of life and the triumph of Christ, his defeat of death. How incongruous, since Christ is risen and we are risen with him. Easter is the season of the year when I feel most at home. I'm very much a joy and victory of the resurrection kind of person myself, which is, I suppose, why this line from our epistle really stands out to me. What is going on? Well, there can be no playing down of the resurrection here. The resurrection which runs like a golden thread through the whole of the writings of St. Paul, and which happily also is so beautifully illustrated on your East End. You're not shirking the resurrection either. I think the point is not to play down the resurrection, but rather to emphasize its supreme power and reach. It's possible for the epistle to the Colossians to read, "Ye are dead," and for that to be good news, because the resurrection of Christ transforms and renews absolutely everything, even death. So it's true to say, we were once dead, but now in Christ we live. That's true, and Paul makes a great deal of that. But that change, that transformation, would be not fully understood, would still be downplayed, if we underestimated what Christ has done for us. It's not as if we were once in one place on the chessboard and now we're somewhere else. It's not as if we were simply on one part of the map and now we've moved to some other portion of the map, thanks to the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is more startling than that. It transforms everything. It takes us off the chessboard. It turns the map upside down. The message for us on Easter morning is that even death is not what it was yesterday. Previously, if we'd heard, "For ye are dead," that would hardly be good news. But now, even that can be good news, because it's all about participating in the death and therefore the resurrection of Christ, which is already his victory. His victory of Christ upon the cross, his almost final words, "It is finished, it is done, it is complete." Or as Paul also puts it, everything can be changed by death. There is an inheritance, he talks about, in one place. It's as if with this it is the supreme turning of the page. Christ's death, he says poetically, is like that. It changes everything. It changes everything because from now on, Christ has gone ahead of us, making even death the path to the resurrection. So far from these words in Colossians being, as I say, a deflation, "For ye are dead," and far from them being a running down of our understanding of Easter and Christ's resurrection, they are witness to the total transformation wrought almost 2,000 years ago, that Easter Sunday morning, just before daybreak. We are not just shifted a little, moved from here to there. Even here and there are changed. Even death is turned upside down. The site for all of this, the doorway for all of this, the portal, is baptism, closely associated with Easter from the earliest days of the church. "Ye are dead" has this glorious meaning because, as we also read in the epistle through baptism, your life is hid with Christ in God. We are hid with Christ in God by our baptism, which is a participation in Christ's death and resurrection. So that's my main point this morning, that the resurrection changes absolutely everything. Even death is transfigured. I've got two more brief points to make. Second point then. I think it's a faithful interpretation of Paul to say that death is transformed for us because we get it over and done with in baptism. Death and the end of life is certainly not ever to be trivialized for a Christian. But the hope of the Christian is that we can approach our mortal end with baptism in mind and say, been there, done that. We read in the letter to the Hebrews that it is given for all of us once to die and then to face judgment. But the remarkable message of Easter is that Christ died and faced judgment for us, that we enter into that in baptism, that in baptism, all of that, that once facing death and judgment, has happened for us in those waters and in Christ. And my third and final point to this good news if put in a slightly unexpected way, our epistle adds something with a bit more spiritual moral grit, you might say. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Certainly not spared it at St. Botolph's or with the Book of Common Prayer. Our epistle, as I say, adds spiritual grit. Mortify all of that. Our dying with Christ, it seems, puts up some resistance. What Paul will elsewhere call the old man, the old Adam, puts up a bit of a fight to its being put to death. That which is of the flesh alone lingers on. The injunction, I think, in our epistle is not the hatred of the body, but rather the resolution to put to a full and final end all of sin and all that refuses to die. Because in this third sense, which is integral to Paul and throughout the prayer book, ye are dead, is good news also because so much of human life becomes decayed. We only need to look at the television, well, pretty much any time, to be honest, but certainly at the moment, and recognise that there is so much in humanity that is just not good. And what Paul is saying to us is that in Christ, that can be done away with. It is to be put to death by Christ. This is the gritty, the hard bit of the epistle, but ultimately, it is good news that the death and resurrection of Christ put the secateurs to that which is decayed in our life. And we have to commit ourselves to letting that liberating work go on in us and through us for the fruit of the resurrection of Christ to show itself in that rather unusual way of actually making a clean end of certain of our impulses towards greed and domination and so on. So if I recap in reverse order, much in human life could do with being mortified. And the slightly unusual good news of Easter is that in the life and death and resurrection of Christ, that can happen. Second point, that baptism is our participation in the death of Christ, so that in a certain way we can say, been there, done that. In our baptism, we have participated in the death of Christ. We've got that sort of over and done with, and we can approach our mortal end knowing that our life is already, as the epistle says, hid with Christ in God. And the first message of this passage, I think, that the resurrection of Christ changes absolutely everything, not just moving us a little bit on a map, but completely transforming the map itself, even transforming death. So I began with the epistle, ye are dead, and I hope I've managed to show that there is something really profound of good news in even that most unexpected passage in the epistle. But I end where I must end, on Easter Sunday. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.